Welcome back to Turin, and it's Martin and it's Laura, and here we are in a beautiful little piazza. Actually, the sun is just going down as we record this, and people are out just enjoying a drink, maybe just after work. I can see lots of olives on the go. I can see lots of Aperol spritzes. How many have you polished off so far, Chris?
Listen, just one, all right?
Just one tonight so far.
Yes.
And here we are. We've been having a great day here in Turin, meeting lots of people, and you'll find out what we've been getting up to and get all the reaction that you need in the middle of Eurovision week here on
Nullpois.
Nullpois is shameful.
Nullpois is lack of respect for Euros.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
Shame that they must be feeling.
Nullpois is no fun.
And it has been a lovely day.
Beautiful day here in Turin. I have been mainly trying to find scenes from The Italian Job, the film. It's annoying everybody. I saw a weir, didn't I? I saw a weir.
Yes, you did. You saw a weir.
Go and make Chris get a photo by the weir. And you looked bemused and I looked ecstatic.
Yes, because, I mean, I haven't seen The Italian Job for some time, but it's been lovely to wander around Turin today, and we've caught up with quite a lot of people that we've spoken to previously on the show, haven't we?
Yeah, and you're going to hear those conversations in just a little bit. Also, loads of your correspondence as well, of which there's been plenty coming in over the last little while, so I'm going to get to that in just a bit, and details, by the way, of how you can get in touch with the podcast coming on a little bit later on. How are you feeling at the moment? Kind of 24 hours-ish on from the first semi-final. Dust has settled a little bit more now. What are your thoughts on how the contest is going so far?
Well, I'm still gutted for Latvia. I really wanted to see them in the final. I can understand, you know, there's been a lot of analysis and why maybe they didn't make it through, maybe cancelled out by Norway, cancelled out by Moldova, who both, I think, got a big proportion of the televote in the semi-final. But I am gutted for them because I did think they put on a great performance. Same with Albania. But, you know, this just shows the unpredictability, particularly of this year.
It feels like as well, when you look, and the sort of the first semi-final maybe highlighted this a little bit, when you look at the front runners, there's not much between them, right? Sort of anyone can kind of drop out in the semi-finals, and it's quite tight at the top.
It certainly is. I mean, looking at the people that went through as well, you know, there was an interesting mix there. I didn't really expect to see Iceland going through, but I liked the song. I just didn't think it cut through, but it did. Same with Portugal. I was glad they both got through. I can tell you, by the way, where they're going to be in the sort of halves of the running order, because that's been released.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Shall we get to that in a little bit?
Yeah, let's go.
We'll get to that in a little bit. We'll tease you on that one, and instead take you to location one on our tour of Turin today, chatting to lots of different people all about Eurovision.
Yeah, indeed. And we just had to catch up with a friend of the podcast, Sam Ross, who's working with the EBU at a lovely little cafe near a piazza.
Just finishing the most beautiful hot chocolate I think I've ever had in a little cafe here in Turin. What have you got there, Chris? What's that?
Ooh, I've just demolished this huge ice cream gelato, Coppa di Gatsby, I think it was. It was loads of different things, chocolate, all that kind of stuff. It was a very big ice cream.
So much so that the waitress, when she came over, told Chris that she wouldn't be able to eat it because it was too big for her, but you decided not to listen.
Well, I think that was because I was also ordering a huge coffee as well. So I relented and got a smaller coffee, but I did want the huge ice cream. And I am nearly finishing it now. I'm close.
Yeah, you could have gone for the whole thing. And joining us in our little area here in the sort of under the cloisters, if you like, of this cafe in the middle of Turin is Sam Ross, who, well, you've got many hats and many of them apply this week. So why don't you just run through them so we know where we are?
Okay, so in my normal life, I actually do nothing in regards to Eurovision, but for these couple of weeks, I am one of the web editors for the main contest itself. Like, my name was actually in the credits this time around. Outside of this, I will also have a side gig as one of the hosts of the 12 Points from America podcast.
You've been mainly then at the center. You've been seeing it unfold. We've been in the Eurovision Village with the fans, but you've been there with the acts, with the delegations. What's it been like so far?
It's been incredible. Like, this is my first time really behind the scenes in this capacity, working for Screen of the European Broadcasting Union, doing this kind of work. I've been in the delegation bubble before because I've worked with the Bulgarians, but I haven't been in a situation where I'm not just working with a single delegation, that I kind of see a lot of stuff going on. Like, I'm sitting in my little desk that I've kind of claimed as my own, and it's like there are a bunch of space wolves that are walking by, and there goes Latvia, and there's Circus Mercus, like, oh hi. And it's like, you realize that, you know, there's the incredible spectacle that goes on the screen that we all know and love, but at the same time there's so much that goes into it, this highly tuned schedule of, you know, making sure that people go from costuming to makeup to in-ear monitor checks to stage work to interviews. It's really, generally speaking, a well-oiled machine that goes into making these couple of hours of telly that we get three times a year.
And what's the mood then backstage? Because this is the first sort of proper Eurovision back. I know there was obviously a Eurovision last year, but it was very tightly controlled and kind of locked down and non-stop testing, and nobody really got to experience anything like it would normally be. So this is the first one that feels more normal. How are people feeling? What's the mood backstage?
I obviously can't compare to Rotterdam because I wasn't on site there last year, but I would say that the general mood that I've kind of picked up from delegations is a sense of focused fun, that they're there, they're having a really great time, but they've got a job to do, they've got, you know, things that they want to take care of, they have, you know, talking points that they want to make sure that they talk about during meet and greets, during press conferences, they've got camera angles that they want to refine and making sure that everything is just the way they want it to make, but at the same time, they're also seeing other delegations that maybe they met for the first time at, say, Eurovision in concert in London or Amsterdam. And he's like, hey, person X from country Y, I haven't seen you in a couple of weeks. How are you doing? It's so nice to see you again. And so you have this really interesting blend of people who are getting the job done, but they're also seeing their friends.
It's okay.
It's fantastic.
Do you want espresso or something else?
Yeah, let's see. Can I grab my
ice cream?
What has it been like being in Turin then? Have you been able to see very much, or have you been in that bubble? And what would you like to see? Is there anything we should go and see as well?
This is really my first time here, but it's my understanding, and from what I've been hearing from other people who have a lot more Italy travel experience, that Turin has a very different vibe from a lot of the other cities. This is a northern Italian city, kind of at the very foothills of the... I mean, the reach in Piemonte means foot of the hills, or foot of the mountains. So it's, you know, you have the Alps not too far from here. You're not ridiculously far from the borders with Switzerland and France. So you get a bit of that vibe coming in. It's not... This isn't Rome. If you're coming here expecting Colosseum, you're not going to get that here. It's its own city with its own vibe. I personally have enjoyed just kind of wandering around the neighborhoods and just kind of just window shopping and browsing. I'm not the kind of person who likes to go to all the big tourist locations, even though the people who I've spoken to who've been to the top of the Mole here have said the view is spectacular. And any fans of the Italian Job, the old Michael?
Yes, please.
Yeah, the Fiat factory with the track on the top. That's now over in the Lingotto district. It's still there. I think it's a museum now. And I'm pretty sure that the building with that sort of undulating roof that the Minis were driving up at the end, that building is still around. I'm not sure if it's.
Oh,
open
this is so cool! I'm desperate to see a little bit of that. The Eurovision, when it comes to a place like Turin, especially a place like Turin, which is fairly small in terms of cities in Europe, it really kind of takes over. Do you get a sense of just how much the Eurovision sort of circus rolls into town?
You know what? It does kind of. I wouldn't say overwhelm, but you definitely feel it. For instance, you get the flags on the masts. You get. You know, you'll definitely see other people walking around with Eurovision swag on. You know that the circus is in town. Turin, it really feels like they've kind of picked up and embraced it. Other than the single Euro club that they would normally have in other places, they have 10 smaller venues that are kind of scattered around the city. One second.
Oh, here comes the coffee. Look at this. Wow, look at that. Bit of cream on the top as well. It's got three layers to it, this coffee.
Yeah. yeah, just looking at this. Okay, so this is the Espresso delle Alpi. So it's got espresso, honey, whipped cream, and nougat.
See, that's what I was going to get with the ice cream. I think I could have finished both.
Yeah, I think you would have been all right. You could have dusted that one off. Yeah, wow, wow, wow. Okay, well, that's totally derailed our conversation, but I'm absolutely, I can find to just stare at it. I think that looks amazing.
I'm speechless at this point, but yeah, what a happy interruption. No, I mean, it's really interesting to see how a city kind of picks up and runs with it. We have 10 different venues that are sort of considered the official Euro Club, you know, quote unquote, or more like hangout spaces all over the city. There's the Euro Village, which takes up a large portion of an area, not too far from the city center. But this is a city that is used to hosting one-off major events. I mean, as you remember, this is a city that hosted the Olympics back in 2006. I mean, you still see the Olympic rings on the side of the Palo Olimpico, where we're actually going. So it's cool to see them kind of take this again. They have a bit of the infrastructure in place in order to take a big event like this and run with it.
Well, Sam, we've eaten like kings and queens. Cress certainly had it all. She's crammed it all in her face. Thank you very much, Sam. Been a pleasure to talk to you. And best of luck with the rest of the week. Very busy week ahead.
Absolutely. But luckily, I've got this beautiful-looking coffee that just got delivered to the table to power me through. So, yeah.
Yeah, just great to hear what's been going on at the contest at the stadium, and also just meet up with Sam, who we hadn't met before.
Yeah, and she was lovely, wasn't she? Yeah. Really, really lovely. I had the most amazing hot chocolate I think I've ever had.
Yes,
as well.
You did. You loved it, didn't you?
I really did. I think it's changed me as a person, and I'm absolutely fine about that. More reaction to come. Going to be hearing from Maxie Rainbow, who's a massive Eurovision fan, Eurovision vlogger and blogger, and really kind of at the heart of the fan community. A little bit later, at another location in Turin, but first talking about the orders then for who's going where.
Yes, indeed. So let's get into this. So we know who qualified from last night, and we've been told now where they're going to place. Not the exact placing, but whether it's first or second half. Switzerland will be first, Armenia first, Iceland second, Lithuania second, Portugal first, Norway first, Greece second, Ukraine first, Moldova second, Netherlands first. Now, I put out on our Twitter, does that mean, do people think perhaps Ukraine to open? But we've had a few people, for example, Yuri Vision, who said it has to be Norway, surely, who's opening. It is always a question of, it's normally they start quite strong, don't they? It's normally quite an upbeat, exciting one that they pick off with. And often, you know, that person, that country that starts off does pretty well because they're quite memorable.
Yeah, true. Although I do think, because obviously one of the worst places to be is second,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah. You don't want to be second, no.
No, you don't want to be second. So I wonder whether being first isn't that much better either, because you kind of, yes, you are that first memorable thing that starts with a bang, but does that, because the fact that it's such a long time before the voting happens, do you get lost in it? But anyway, that's a debate for another time. Right now, though, time to go and meet someone else at another location right here in Turin.
Well, you join us now on the steps of a church by the Piazza Gran Madre, which I believe I'm right in saying, Martin, is where they filmed a little bit of the film The Italian Job.
I'm so excited. I've been obsessed with finding locations to do with The Italian Job, and I am standing in a really iconic one. This is the point, if you've ever seen the film, where the minis drive down the steps and someone's getting married on the steps and they say good luck on the way as they're going down. So this is a bit of cinema history that we're standing on right now.
We're not just here on our own. We've also joined by the fantabulous Maxie Rainbow, the queen of Eurovision. Welcome, Maxie.
Hi, thank you for having me once again, in person this time.
Yes, it's so lovely to see you, because we have, of course, spoken before. You're a massive Eurovision YouTuber. You do lots of things all around the Eurovision season, but lovely to actually meet face-to-face.
I know, yeah, y'all look great in person.
Oh, you don't have to say that, Maxie. But thank you so much for joining us. Now, you've been here a little bit longer than us. Tell us what you've been getting up to.
I've been going everywhere. I feel like I've actually seen every single square, every single monument that there is to see here. I haven't been to every single restaurant, but that's about the only thing I haven't done. Yeah, I've just been enjoying the city a little bit before Eurovision stuff even happened, and then I've been enjoying the atmosphere now as more fans start to roll in. It's been really, really fun. And I've been interviewing artists and stuff like that. Even though I didn't get my press pass, I'm still getting things done.
Yeah.
So
not that you're at all bitter about it. So here we are. Let's talk Eurovision, because here we are in the middle of the first semi-final and the second semi-final. What are your thoughts then as a fan, having watched semi-final one and looking ahead to semi-final two?
I think it's a lot more open than I think any of us realized. After Albania not qualifying, Latvia not qualifying, Austria not qualifying, some of those I felt like were sure, honestly, all three of those I felt like were sure qualifiers. And then us getting Iceland and Switzerland, I feel like the options are endless for what we're actually going to get in the second semifinal. I'm like, maybe Montenegro can qualify. I'm hoping. Who knows? I don't know. I think that we went into this feeling like there were, it was pretty clear who was going to make it through. And I think that after those results, it was totally unexpected. So I really don't know what to expect now from the second semi.
As a fan, what do you think about, obviously, everyone gets very heated about these things. There's been quite a lot of negative reaction towards Switzerland getting through. Thoughts a little bit on that and how maybe fans should be carrying themselves in this contest?
I think that we need to remember how hard all of these artists work throughout the entire season. Every single one is putting in so much effort and work into their performances. And there's a reason why these people go through. People voted for them. They are all so talented. And Switzerland, he put on an amazing performance. I was saying in interviews before, I felt like he had some of the best staging. Sacha Jean-Baptiste did amazing with that, and it really brought the performance alive. And even in my reaction to it, I was like, no! But not because I didn't think he didn't deserve to go through, but because I knew that inevitably somebody that I really wanted to go through wasn't going to get through. But, you know, to send hate towards any of these artists, everybody works so hard. And at the end of the day, it's only, you know, one other show that's a difference. Like, we still got to see them perform. And I think that we should just be thankful that we get Eurovision every single year following it being canceled. So
that's so true. You can't stop forgetting that at least it's actually going in, no matter what happens. The Eurovision is happening, and we have to be grateful for that. Predictions then, based on what you've seen so far, first semi-final done, second still to go. Who are you thinking, who are you tipping to win at the moment?
I think that the winner is in the big five this year. I really do. Outside of the big five, it's maybe Greece or Sweden. Those are like the only other options for me.
So, and I'm interested then. You're not saying Ukraine there. Give us a couple of reasons behind that. I kind of understand why you're not saying it, but tell us why.
I guess Ukraine could win. I don't know. I mean, I think that it's a very divisive entry, but I don't know. It's hard to gauge the hype on whether or not it's kind of like because of the song and if people are actually going to vote for it at the end of the day, or if it's kind of like people standing in solidarity during the performances or whatever. It's hard to gauge. I mean, I guess they could win, but I don't know if I see it necessarily for them. I mean, it's a really good performance. It's still great. The energy when you see it live and even with like a large group of people in the Euro Village, it's amazing. But when I watched like the rehearsals and stuff, it did kind of fizzle out for me. When I was watching it just in my home alone during the rehearsals, I don't know. It didn't bring the win that I thought it could, maybe. I mean, I loved the song. It actually was higher in my rankings before rehearsals. It was my second place. But I don't know. I mean, it could win. I'm the worst at predictions. I'm not going to lie. I'm always usually wrong. But
you said, you know, you've been able to speak to a lot of the acts. Who's been the favorite act that you've gotten to speak to, and why?
definitely Iceland sister and their brother. They have this energy about them. They make you feel so comfortable when you're around them. It was my first like real in-person interview that I had ever done, and they just made me feel so comfortable. And the message that they're bringing to all their interviews, that they're bringing to, you know, all the press events and the turquoise carpets and stuff like that, supporting the LGBT community specifically, it's like outstanding. And their energy, and it comes through in their performance too. They just are magical. Something about them, it's just amazing. And honestly, all the artists I got to interview this year, I didn't get to interview too many, but all of them, I'm so like happy with the ones I did get, because I got LPS, and they're just so much fun, and they have that spirit about them that they're so talented, but they're still so fresh and new to, like, you know, creating music, and they're so talented. It's just insane. I was like rooting for them so hard. And same with Subwoofer. They don't speak at all, but
makes interviewing them quite difficult.
I know.
What was that like then? How did you conduct that interview?
Well, we actually played charades. So they acted out the Eurovision entries through charades, and I guessed them. And it was so much fun. It's my favorite video I've ever made. But even them, like, even though they don't speak, they make you feel like comfortable around them. I don't know, something, they feel like they're like children's TV show characters or something. Yeah. And you're just like, there's something comforting about that.
Yeah, they're good fun. They're good fun. What an insight. Thank you so much, yes. Maxie. Really great to talk to you in such an iconic location as well. Turin is absolutely beautiful, and it's great to visit it and then chat Eurovision as well. So thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of your stay here.
Thank you so much. You guys as well. Have fun.
Again, lovely to see Maxie, and just see what it's like being a fan, a YouTuber who's, first of all, this is the first time, you know, they've got to really be here and be part of the contest, and just see what it's like getting involved with the contestants as well and delegations. Sounds like they're having a great time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I got to go on the steps from the Italian job.
Yeah.
Come on. Get more excited
about
this.
What do you want me
to
say?
I want you to give me a quote from the Italian job or something.
Oh, I only got to blow the bloody doors off.
Sorry. What on earth was that? What was all that about?
I only got to blow the bloody doors off.
What's the bit after? What's the bit at the end that you're doing? What's the wah? What's all that? My cool game doesn't go wah. What's that? Donald Duck and what's going on. Anyway, with that, on to your correspondence, because thank you so much for getting in touch with the podcast. We've just been genuinely quite overwhelmed by the love that we've been getting online, and the number of people who are wanting to share their Eurovision experience with us. And if that is you, thank you so much for doing that. What's been happening?
Yeah, remember, you can follow us. We've got lots of different social media outlets. Follow us on Instagram. We're Nullpoir Podcast on that. Thank you to Michael, who got in touch from Germany, saying about the semi-final results yesterday, saying, I'm happy with the results because the acts who qualified convinced with good vocals, in my opinion. Austria and Albania were not good live. Latvia was good, but maybe too silly for a big international audience. So that was Michael's thoughts on why maybe Latvia didn't quite cut through. Thank you as well to your correspondents on email. We're nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com on that if you want to get in touch with all your thoughts. BJ in PA, would that be Pennsylvania, possibly?
Sounds about right, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, they do live in America, so that, yeah. Saying, long-time Eurovision fan since 1980, moved to America in the 80s, 90s, went to school over there in Dublin in the 90s, and got to be a reporter at the 1995 and 1997 contest.
And got 1997. Yeah.
Very jealous of you, to be honest. And had a word to say about the American Song Contest, saying it's like Eurovision without the camp and drama. And I think we were saying that as well with Sam, which I don't know if that's a good thing, really, because that's what I like about Eurovision is the camp and drama, really. But very jealous of you, BJ. Julie wanted to get in touch to tell us that there might still be some semi-final tickets available on the official site. So we could possibly look at that if we've got some time. Thank you again to Luke B, who's given us loads of thoughts of things we could do for trivia time.
Oh, Yes, that'll return at some point.
That will return. Don't worry if you're missing that feature. That is coming back. And who also says, I can't believe Eurovision is coming up. It doesn't seem as long as a year since Rotterdam. And I think we've felt like that as well, haven't we?
Yeah, it's come around really, really quickly. Genuinely thank you if you got in touch with us. You heard the ways of doing that. If you want to get involved, we do love to hear from you. And we do read everything that comes in. So thank you so much for getting in touch. And we'll see you again on the next edition. We're going to be giving you more reaction from the second semi-final the next time you hear from us. We're going back hopefully into the Eurovision Village or somewhere. We're going to be seeing the second semi-final, so plenty of reaction for that. And then we are going to be watching the final on Saturday as well, so plenty of
we
reaction.
Will be watching the final,
we'll
yes.
We're going to watch it. We thought we might want to watch the final this year, maybe,
not?
If we thought we'd get involved. Thank you very much. We are going to get back to our evening here in the piazza. Oh, there you go. Get another bit more Aperol down you.
Yes, I will.
And we'll see you again, if we're not too drunk, on another edition of
Nolpois.